Choosing Someone Better. Author, Saren. Chapter 1. I ran into Bradley Garvin on the second day after the news of the marriage was announced. His friends spotted me and called out to Bradley, who was talking to someone else. "Bradley, your fiancée is here." For a moment, all eyes were on us. Bradley's brows arched as he shot me a glance impatiently. "Julia Sanderson, you had the nerve to show your face here. You had them announce the union between the Sandersons and the Garvins without my permission. Do you not value your own dignity?" I was momentarily stunned. "Oh, right. I forgot that Bradley's uncle has the same last name as him," I thought. Although I had prepared myself mentally, I instinctively held my breath upon receiving the scornful look from Bradley. Then, I took a deep breath to calm myself down. "The person I'm marrying isn't you." Bradley's friends burst into fits of laughter before I could finish. They patted Bradley's shoulders. "Bradley, your fiancé is hilarious. You should tell her not to use such a lame excuse. She'll only make a fool of herself." Bradley felt extremely humiliated. His expression darkened. "Julia, that's enough. You've been saying almost every single day that you want to marry me. Now, you're trying to get my attention by claiming that you're marrying someone else. How repulsive." He looked down at me condescendingly. Suddenly, Bradley snickered, leaned forward, and whispered next to my ear. "Julia Sanderson, I'll give you the status that you want. However, I won't ever proceed with the marriage registration with you, and I will never acknowledge you as my spouse." A look of surprise flashed in my eyes. In my previous life, Bradley had never expressed these thoughts before. Could it be? I pondered. Before I could process everything, I noticed how Bradley's eyes shone with excitement. I followed his gaze and spotted my younger sister, Jenna Sanderson. Jenna's eyes turned red when she saw me and Bradley standing side by side. "Bradley, I've heard of the news. I wish the two of you happiness." She trailed off, buried her face in her hands, and cried miserably. Bradley shot me a glare. "Julia, this is all your fault. You disgust me." As I came to my senses, Bradley hurried over and threw his arms around Jenna. Chapter 2. Bradley and Jenna hugged each other tightly as if they were the only ones left in this world. They even shared a passionate kiss at some point. Bradley circled his arms around Jenna's waist while Jenna placed her hands on Bradley's arms. The two of them looked much more like a couple than how Bradley was with me. The others were amused as they watched what was happening. Some of them even murmured among themselves despite knowing I would hear them. If I were Julia, I would have crawled into a hole in the ground and stayed out of everyone's sight. She's thick-skinned enough to just stand here while her fiancé and her sister have their hands all over each other. I was well aware that these people were waiting to see me make a fool of myself. They wanted to see if I would start shouting and yelling hysterically like how I did previously just to make Bradley look at me. Bradley turned his eyes to me at that moment. He scoffed, clearly satisfied with how I did not overreact. He was about to say something, but I did not allow him the chance to. I turned around and headed out the front door. I called my driver. While I was waiting for my ride, a black car pulled up nearby. The window rolled down. It was Bradley. "Get in." I was about to reject his offer. Then, I saw Jenna, who sat in the passenger seat. Bradley noticed where I was looking. He frowned and said, "You shouldn't be sitting in the passenger seat." I had not even said anything, yet the corners of Jenna's eyes turned red. "Julia, Bradley is just worried about me." "I'm sorry, Julia. I'll get out of the car right now." Even though that was what she said, Jenna showed no signs of moving from her seat. With a concerned look in his eyes, Bradley clutched Jenna's hand. Then, he sent me a glance. "Stop making things hard for Jenna. You can get lost if you don't want to ride in the back." I kept silent and walked over to the rear door. Seeing how I did not say anything, Jenna caressed Bradley's face with her hands. "Bradley, do you like the scent of the hand cream I'm using?" Her delicate fingers brushed lightly against Bradley's face. I could even hear the sound of Bradley swallowing from where I was standing. Bradley's and Jenna's breathing became heavy and uneven. Their eyes were practically glued to each other. There was a loud bang just as they were about to press their lips together. Bradley looked to the back seat but found no one there. He finally realized that the sound he had heard earlier was the sound of me closing the car door. He was extremely agitated. Bradley stepped out of the car and called after me, "Where are you going?" I stared at him for a moment before pointing to the car that just arrived. "I don't need the ride. That's my car." Bradley seemed to have noticed how I was not reacting like I usually would. Still, he was convinced that this was my new way of rebelling. He caught hold of my arm and pulled a ring out of his pocket. He shoved the ring into my hand. "Stop it with this childish trick. You're my wife. Even if it's just for show, you'll still be causing me shame if you do this." I gazed at him and said flatly, "Who's your real wife, then?" "Jenna." Bradley was both pleased and annoyed when my guess was on the mark. "Humph. It's best if you keep your lips sealed. Jenna is different from you. She's kind, meek, and pure. Someone like you can never compare to her. If you dare complain to our elders about her or cause her any harm, you'll only end up making yourself a laughing stock during the wedding." I almost burst out laughing upon hearing those words. Bradley did not want to be the bad guy. At the same time, he could not give up on his relationship with Jenna. The only thing he could do was to shift the blame on me as if I had committed some sort of unforgivable sin. I ignored him and got into my car. On the way home, I saw Jenna's latest update on her social media page. The pink diamond on her finger glowed brightly in the darkness. I recognized the roughly 10-carat pink diamond ring. It was sold recently in an auction for over $100 million. It turned out the anonymous person who bought the ring during the auction was Bradley. I thought about the tiny diamond ring Bradley had given me just now. So, I took it out and had a closer look at it. As expected, the ring Bradley gave me was a complimentary gift from the auction house when he purchased the pink diamond ring. Just as I was stuffing the ring back into my pocket, my phone rang. I checked the name displayed on the screen and answered the phone. "Bradley, if you and I proceed with the marriage registration. What about Julia? Jenna, you're the only one I love. She can never be my spouse." Wet kissing sounds could be heard the next instant. I hung up in disgust. Jenna's text message came shortly afterward. "Julia, the person who isn't loved is the unnecessary one in a relationship. You had the title of Mrs. Garvin for years. It should be my turn now, don't you think?" Chapter 3. In my last life, Jenna and Bradley knew each other. Yet, Jenna dared not act so brazenly in front of everyone. She would only pull some tricks while keeping them discreet. It was no wonder almost everyone knew about her relationship with Bradley in just 2 to 3 days' time now. My eyes hardened as I recalled my previous life. After I married into the Garvin family, Garvin Corporation's business flourished. The company even made it into Forbes' list of top global companies. The elders of the Garvin family approved of me and said that I brought their family good luck. Although Bradley treated me coldly, the warmth I received from the Garvin family's elders still made me feel happy and content. That was until I broke the box, shattering all of the illusions. Someone pushed the door open. My mother told me that Terrence Garvin would be coming back soon. I froze and remained silent. It seemed like my mother had something else to say. In the end, she merely sighed and walked away. There was no way my mother was unaware of what was happening in my previous life. Yet, she had never said anything about it to me. While the Garvin family's elders showed me favor, they did not feel much attachment to me. Otherwise, they would not have helped Bradley keep his secrets hidden. Terence was the only exception. He was an anomaly among the Garvins. In my previous life, Terence settled down abroad and remained single his whole life. I could not recall much about him. Still, I remembered how he would often show his concern for me. Terence would even scold Bradley and remind him to treat me better. That was why I chose to marry him this time. I figured he would be a better choice as compared to me marrying a total stranger. Truthfully, I was not exactly that optimistic about it. I did not think the person who held actual power and authority in the Garvin family would agree to such a casual marriage proposal. Yet, things went much smoother than how I had imagined it to be. My mother told me that Terence merely took a short pause before agreeing to the marriage proposal. Early morning the next day, I arrived at the office to finish up a proposal. The proposal was my wedding gift to Terence. The client that the proposal was intended for was currently the largest electronics company in our country, Marone Group. If we could secure the deal with them, the company would have no issue making it into the top three companies in Gelinos. I had spent quite some time preparing this proposal. Initially, I was going to give it to Bradley. So, all of the details in the proposal were tailored to accommodate Garvin Corporation's business and operations. Since my fiancé was Terence now, I would naturally have to modify the proposal according to his company. After staying up several nights, I finally completed the proposal. I rubbed my sore eyes and went downstairs to grab a cup of coffee. When I came back to modify some details in the proposal, I found that the proposal saved on my computer was gone. I quickly took out my phone to check the surveillance footage. The person in the video hid their face perfectly by wearing a mask and a hat. Yet, the pink diamond ring on her finger gave away her identity. I was so furious that my body started shaking. I stormed into Jenna's office at once. As soon as I entered through the door, I could see Bradley sitting on the desk and holding Jenna in his arms. A fine thread of saliva hung between their lips as the pair pulled away from each other. I could not care how it would make me look as I grabbed Jenna's wrist. I shouted furiously, "Jenna Sanderson, who gave you the right to touch my computer?" Bradley shoved me away and spat, "Julia, are you out of your mind?" Like a child who got scolded, Jenna hid behind Bradley and sobbed. "Julia, I'm sorry. I didn't delete it on purpose. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll kneel and apologize to you. Can you please forgive me?" As she trailed off, Jenna bent her knees and was about to kneel on the floor. However, Bradley pulled her into his embrace and stopped her from getting on her knees. "Julia, what the heck are you kicking up a fuss for? It was my wedding gift for my fiancé," I bellowed. The last bit of reason I had was consumed by the anger burning inside me. Bradley snickered. "Aren't I your fiancé? I appreciate the sentiment. Is that enough? I seriously don't understand why you're making such a big fuss about it." My gaze fell on Jenna's computer, which was displaying the report that she was still working on. I picked up the glass of water on the desk and poured it onto the computer. Dark smoke rose from the computer, followed by some crackling sounds. Jenna was exasperated. She gripped and shook Bradley's arm. "Bradley. My report." I scoffed. "It's just a report. I seriously don't understand why you're making such a big fuss about it." Bradley fixed his gaze on me. He kept getting this feeling that there was something strange about me. I turned around to leave the room. Bradley tried to grab my wrist, but Jenna tugged at the hem of his shirt. "Bradley, I think I got scalded with hot water. It hurts. I'm sorry. It was my fault. You should go and talk to Julia." Bradley hesitated for a mere few seconds before lowering his outstretched hand. "You didn't do anything wrong. It was just Julia being petty." Chapter 4. With the proposal ruined, the tad bit of longing I had for Bradley was gone too. I let out a deep sigh, suppressing the feelings of sorrow in my heart. Terence and I would finally get to meet tonight. I was feeling quite nervous and restless. After all, he was also considered an elder to me in my past life. I heaved a long breath, ready to meet him in my best condition. Even if I could not make Terence fall for me at once, I strived to make sure he would not despise me. After arranging my thoughts, I fixed my makeup and left the office feeling satisfied. Just as I got to the underground parking lot, I picked up on the sound of someone moaning. I looked in the direction where the sound was coming from and spotted a black car that was visibly shaking. I took a glance at the car plate number. Tsk. It's Bradley's car, I clicked my tongue inwardly. Through the half-open window, Jenna, who had a glazed look in her eyes, could be seen swaying along with Bradley's movements. Bradley grunted and panted as he moved rhythmically against Jenna's body. Even though I no longer had any feelings for Bradley, the sight of those two in the act made me gag regardless. Jenna noticed my presence. Her lips twisted up in a mocking smile. Then, she threw her arms around Bradley in a passionate kiss. The sound of her gasping and their wet kissing sounds echoed through the empty parking lot. I tried to push back the nauseous feeling in my stomach and hurried away. I was going to get in my car and leave for the party tonight. There was the sound of a low grunt coming from their direction. Shortly afterward, the two of them got out of the car. Ah! Julia! Jenna called out to me and acted as if she was shocked to see me there. Her face was still flushed. A hint of embarrassment flashed in Bradley's eyes when he heard my name. I did not pause or stay around. Instead, I stepped on the gas pedal and drove the car away. When I drove past Bradley, I could even see the lace lingerie hanging from his belt. I stopped by a shopping mall on the way and bought some gifts for the Garvin family's elders. I also picked out a gift for Terence. By the time I reached the Garvin residence, I ran into Bradley at the front door. He strode over and tried to offer an explanation. When he spotted the gift boxes I was carrying, the awkward expression on his face changed into one of satisfaction, followed by scorn and disdain. I thought you were upset. It turned out you left to buy me gifts. I guess I expect this much from you. He reached his hand toward the bags of gift boxes, but I quickly turned my body sideways and blocked him. They're not for you. Bradley lit a cigarette and said flatly, "You saw it just now, right? Ha. Jenna is my lawfully wedded wife. All of this was supposed to be hers. If you can be a bit more obedient, I may feel generous enough to spend a few nights with you." I could feel goosebumps on my skin as Bradley's lustful gaze lingered on my body. It was extremely revolting. I was about to walk away, but Bradley caught hold of my arm. He frowned and reminded me, "Uncle Terence will be here tonight. So, don't cause any trouble later. After the family dinner is over, I'm taking you to meet with Jenna so that you can apologize to her. Be good if you still want the wedding to happen." Without waiting for a response from me, Bradley walked off right away. I snickered while watching his receding figure. Soon enough, Bradley would learn whether or not we would be having a wedding. I entered the dining room. Except for Terence, the other elders of the Garvin family had already taken their seats. There was an empty seat beside Bradley, but I simply walked past it. Instead, I sat in the empty seat next to the seat reserved for the head of the family. When Bradley saw me sitting there, he walked over impatiently and sat in the other empty seat next to me. "Julia, that seat next to yours is Uncle Terence's seat. Hurry and follow me to our seats. You're only going to get yourself in trouble." I tried to suppress the annoyance rising within me and opened my mouth to explain. Just then, a man's deep voice called out, "Sorry, I'm late.